The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word have handed them down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. The Gospel of the Lord. The play and subsequent movies entitled The Winslow Boy is about a family's struggle to demonstrate the innocence of their young son after he was expelled from his boarding school, and also demonstrate that the process whereby they came to that decision was gravely unjust. Toward the end of the play, as the family is awaiting the final verdict determining whether or not the process had treated the Winslow boy unjustly, his older sister, Catherine Winslow, is having a conversation with one of the assistant attorneys for the case. The attorney has known Catherine most of their lives. They are good friends, but he has fallen in love with her, and he wanted to spend a few moments alone with her to, as he put it, express his high regard for her, as only a true Brit can say at the turn of the 20th century, right before World War I. He realizes that she will never have the same feelings for him, and that he could be no more to her than a good friend. But he wanted to let her know of his feelings for her, perhaps if she would marry him. And at one point, he says, "There is much more that I was hoping to convey to you, but I will put it in a letter." Which in this day and age might seem a little trite, perhaps a little quaint. But when you think about it, it connotes a gentleman sitting down and very carefully and thoughtfully crafting a letter to a young woman that he's fallen in love with to convey his feelings for her in a way that is meaningful, a way that has been put a great deal of thought, and that has been carefully done. Putting it in a letter. It is perhaps a lost art nowadays because we live at a time of immediate communications. And while we're accustomed to what we have today, it really isn't anything that new, but still very modern. The telegraph, in which was conveyed telegrams, was a modern invention that you could span oceans and mountains in communicating, and required you to be somewhat terse and somewhat brief, because it could be a rather expensive telegram if you have too many words, so people learn to be brief and to the point. The telephone, of course, further reduced the distances and the efforts in communication. But especially today, in which we often refer to firing off an email, or now throwing out a text, sometimes not really proofreading, not catching the misspellings, or even just speaking into the phone and hoping the transcriber in the phone spells your words correctly, and that no, shall we say, inappropriate words are accidentally transcribed, and if there are, that you catch them before you send the text instead of after. We're used to quick communications, and very much so we have lost the art of letter writing, which when you think of it all throughout history, convey not just the sentiments of people who send it, but those that have been saved oftentimes prove very insightful into the character of historical figures. For example, one great loss, I suppose, to history that I have learned in reading the biographies I do is that one of our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson, of which we know so much, we know so very little about his feelings toward his wife, who died very young. I mean, most of his life as our founding father was done as a widower. Even as a president, he was a widower. And we really don't know the real essence of his feelings, because when his wife passed away, he burned the correspondence that they shared. On the one hand, yeah, it was his right to do so. It was very much a private affair. But imagine the insights into his character that have been lost to a man who has become so important to history. And we see various examples of letters written by great historical figures, diaries that have been kept, journals that have been kept. But not only that, we see in the Holy Scriptures examples of letter writing. Now granted, letters existed before Christianity and of course have existed since. But many literary scholars and literary historians have recognized that the earliest forms of what can be considered Christian literature are in fact letters. Why? Because so much of the early church's spread of the gospel and the expression of faith have been done in the form of letters of the early fathers of the church. St. Ignatius of Antioch has his letters to Smyrna, letters to Pergamum, his letters to the churches that he visited on his way to Rome, other saints of the early church. In the scriptures, we have, not as much in the Old Testament, but we do have a letter that was written by Jeremiah and one by Baruch to the people of Israel who were in exile, and they were writing from Jerusalem to encourage them as a matter of faith to not lose heart that God would eventually bring them back to the promised land. But especially in the New Testament, the vast majority of the writings we have are epistles, the letters of St. Paul, St. John, St. Peter, a letter of James, a letter of Jude. And even in the book of Revelation, it begins with seven letters to seven churches in Asia Minor to prepare them to receive the message of the revelation that John the seer was going to present to them. And each of those letters present a compliment to that particular church in that particular city and a reproach, some area for growth that that city needs to look at as they prepare for the great day of the Lord that the book of Revelation eventually speaks of. But also, one of the Gospels is done in a letter format, at least at the beginning, if not as a springboard to the entire Gospel, if not the entire Gospel itself. And that is the Gospel of Luke. And we read in the beginning what constitutes in many ways an introduction to the entire Gospel addressed to a friend or an associate of Luke, a man he refers to as Most Excellent Theophilus. And he writes, "I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, Most Excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received." Now many have often speculated as to who exactly this Theophilus is. I believe in the Eastern churches he's honored as a saint. But we really don't know any more about him than the two references we see in the New Testament, one at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke and the other at the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. And it's because of that, along with the style of writing, that we see the two books linked. And the Acts of the Apostles is considered a sequel to the Gospel of Luke. But the Acts of the Apostles begins saying, "In my first account, Theophilus," he's addressing and acknowledging to Theophilus a previous account, which of course is the Gospel of Luke. For all we know, Theophilus was just a friend for which he was writing this Gospel account. He could have been a patron of Luke, a sponsor to help him copy and distribute this work of evangelization that Luke put together. For all we know, Theophilus was his publisher, who had commissioned him to write down in an orderly sequence the teachings of the church, specifically in the context of a biography of Jesus Christ. But be that as it may, the Gospel of Luke begins as a letter to a friend. And we see many examples of how the church first spread the message of the gospel through the preaching of the apostles and the early preachers, but in writing, spreading it through the form of very eloquently crafted letters. And perhaps even though that today it is a lost art because of the technology that we have and our need for immediate responses, it perhaps is something to consider as a tradition for us as a people of faith, that this is an adequate and traditional means of spreading and eloquently expressing the faith that we profess. Of course, we still have letters being written today. A popular portion of every newspaper is the letters to the editor, in which we see varying degrees of skill and content in the letter writing. We still often receive letters, say at Christmas time, We receive cards, sometimes letters that kind of give a year in review for the family who sends it, what each person, what each member of the family has been doing in the last year. I always look forward to the letters of friends of mine who are priests, not because I read them entirely, but usually if it's a priest at Christmas, they begin and end with some waxing eloquently of the glory of the season and the celebration that we are acknowledging as we wait for Jesus to be born in the manger, so eloquent as to sometimes constitute what I like to refer to as my annual Christmas epistle to the Colossians. And sometimes I want to call friends of mine and say, look, I don't want to hear about your pilgrimage to Fatima. I want to go to Fatima. And we give each other a hard time on that. But you oftentimes see letters that are written. And you compare that to the kind of terse, abrupt communication we're used to in emails that are so quickly written and, as we say, fired off. Or texts in which we communicate in short phrases and sometimes not even words. We communicate in initials like LOL, laugh out loud, or little old lady. I can never remember which that stands for. But it perhaps is something worth considering because every now and again, of course, we priests receive letters from people in parishes. I have to admit, more often than not, it's when they think we've done something wrong, whether we have or not, and they certainly wax eloquently with the kind of things they can say in those letters, which are not necessarily good for public consumption. But let's face it, folks, at least they're getting it out. But every now and again, I'll receive a letter from someone, either expressing gratitude for something I did as a priest or a homily I gave, or something that one of the other priests did that they're communicating to me, or an experience of people within the parish, either an experience at Mass of the community of faith here, or a visit that was done with someone who was sick, a loved one who needed to be visited. And we see in those letters or cards, sometimes very eloquently expressed, their gratitude as a matter of faith, in which we see in the letter their reflection as to why this meant so much to them. And in the writing of that letter, you see how reflecting upon that helped to deepen their faith and deepen understanding of why this touched them in such a profound way and is truly a joy for me as a priest to read from the people that I serve. You're always happy to receive letters of gratitude and positive letters, but when they really express why, as people of faith, they appreciate something from me, another priest, or the people of the parish, you see that that art isn't entirely lost in our community of faith. And the thought that goes into putting together a letter that expresses that. I received one just last week, and of course I called the person. They were delighted, and I thanked them for just the card that they had sent, in which they were expressing something about the parish that they wished to communicate. And so perhaps that could be a resolution for all of us. First of all, if we as a priest or someone in the parish does something that really moves you and touches you or helps you to grow in your faith, tell them. Sometimes the only things we hear are the negative and the complaints. And some of them are quite interesting and people still put their names on them at times. It's often you wonder. But let them know when they do something that you truly appreciate and put it in a letter. Because when you sit down, it gives it that thought. It's not done, something that's hastily done. And in thinking of how you're going to craft a letter, we come to a deeper and more profound understanding of why we are writing and what we are writing about. Whether it be a concern that is expressed, appreciation you wish to show, reconnecting with someone you haven't been in touch with in a long, long time. Or it could be the first step of reconciliation for someone or for some people. It means so much more than simply a tweet or a text or even an email. And as people of faith, hopefully we are rational people who sit down and craftily think over how we want to express that. And in so doing, we might revive that lost art and return to a grand tradition of how we spread our faith, communicate with one another as people of faith, express the substance of that faith as we sit down and we put it in a letter.